Hello, everybody, and welcome to the to-do list. It is that time of year. Yes, it is, where we celebrate the holidays and we tread where no other New Yorkers will tread, and that is to the Christmas Spectacular show. It's the Rockettes. We did it so you don't have to, but actually we encourage you as locals and tourists alike, why not? It's the holidays. It's a tradition. We made it happen. So can you. And so with that, if you want to hear more, here we go.
Hi, this is Noah.
Hey, it's Kimberly, and this is
the to-do list. This is an edition that I am personally excited for because it's been, I will say, years in the making. Has it not been years in the making?
Oh, boy.
For motivation. This? Well, no, for motivation.
No. Here's the thing.
What's the thing?
This is very much what a lot of tourists would do. This is very touristy. This is something that many New Yorkers, and we have a lot of them listening, so hello. I know many of you, and you are a big part of our audience, do not do the touristy things.
Touristy things? Such, what would be an example of a touristy thing at the holiday time?
So the Rockettes. Ding, ding, ding. I'm not even going to... There it is. Even I was like,
it's I've the never radio, done this. It's the Radio City Christmas Spectacular. The Rockettes do play a prominent role in it.
They
but
do.
It's not called the Rockettes. It's called the Radio City Christmas Spectacular.
Okay, but you're there for the Rockettes. You're there for the Rockettes.
Are we? Are we? I was actually there for Santa. I was there for Jesus.
Okay. No, some people are, but I mean, for the most part, they're iconic. Been there since the 30s, I think, 1936 or something. I mean, don't quote me. Don't write a paper off this. But they've been around. It was during a time period when entertainment, it was coming out of the Great Depression, and it was big into stage and showcasing things like that. And so this was fun. This is what they did back in the day. And it's still happening.
Oh, it's happening.
Today in New York City.
Oh, it's happening.
You're getting a little bit of old-fashioned fun, but they updated every year for a little bit more modern times as well. So
we made the decision to... go into the heart of Tourist Central.
Before it got crazy.
And the reason why Kimberly is saying it's crazy, because if those of you who are not in New York City or have not been to New York City, the Radio City Christmas Spectacular is basically in the vicinity of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree.
Apex of hell.
That's one way to refer to it. That's not the way I would choose. I actually am fine with the tree. I used to work in that neighborhood. And Kimberly and I, your brother was there too. We actually walked through that neighborhood.
I almost died in a crowd crunch.
You once. Did not.
No, seriously.
You weren't going to die.
They did. That happened in Korea. I was being crushed. And then people had to stop and tell people to quit moving because it was getting... No, even Michael, he grabbed my hand to pull me out of it. It was crazy. It's nuts. I'm sorry. That's a whole different episode.
Nobody has ever died at a Rockefeller Center Christmas tree crush.
But people have fallen and gotten hurt.
Oh, they've fallen and gotten hurt, yes. But not at Radio City and other places.
No, this area is nuts. And anywhere between like 5th Avenue and 6th or Avenue of the Americas, we call it 6th, but it's Avenue of the Americas. That's nuts because there's lights everywhere. It's crazy. I try to avoid that area and I wish I could enjoy it more, but it's the insanity.
And it's particularly bad, I would say, on the tree lighting night, which is, for those of us who live here, we know it's the Wednesday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I love it. One time we ended up there by accident.
Well, I was fine with that, though. I didn't care.
I wasn't, because I was like, what's happening? You went, oh, it's the Christmas tree lighting. We're there in the middle. There's, like, somebody performing. And so we couldn't get out of it, so we were just bopping along and...
Well,
we saw the lights go on, and we went, oh!
It's gotten worse. That was earlier in there.
No, I know. Evolution. It sucks.
So now, essentially, what I love is when tourists come to New York to see the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, and they come around Thanksgiving time, and they think, oh, like, Black Friday, we'll go to the tree. I'm like, you can see that tree, but it ain't gonna be lit.
No.
And I'm like, and that's why... I think New Yorkers or people who've come to New York on a regular basis, we're aware of that it will not be lit on Thanksgiving. It won't be lit on the day after Thanksgiving. It won't be lit on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. It will not be lit until the Wednesday after Thanksgiving, which changes from year to year. That being said, I reminded Kimberly before she went to work that day. Did I not say, hey, that's a tree lighting day? And you're like, oh.
And everybody left early.
But you were like, oh, I gotta stay away.
That's why everybody left early. It was like, escape from New York, just get out of here. Like,
run.
People were running to Brooklyn, Queens, Jersey. It was you have to, because it's crazy. And the thing is, the reason why we went to see the Rockettes so early, because we did, was because we just, okay, he's fine with it. I didn't want to deal with the craziness of later on. Also, the tickets are cheaper. But
yes.
It was before the tree lighting, because we're like, you know what? This is the time.
But it wasn't so early, because they open generally, they've shifted
the week before the tree
from year to year. From year to year, they shift. No, it was not. We literally went less than a day.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It was,
girl.
Yeah.
No, we had looked at going opening night, which this year I'm pretty sure was November 17th.
Yeah.
They shift it from year to year. Sometimes they used to open it around Veterans Day. So they really do. You got to watch your schedule from year to year. That being said, and that's why I talked about that neighborhood, is when Kimberly and I went with her brother. Do you agree I can navigate the crowds there better?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I have tolerance for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't worry about getting crushed. I just go slow and slowly.
It's small. I'm tiny.
But what I will do, because there are a lot of foot traffic. There's a lot of foot traffic, particularly on tree lighting day. But in general, that part of New York City is crowded. I personally, this is something that creeps, I think, Kimberly and the general public out, is if I'm by a tourist and they're walking slowly and I got to get to work or I got to get past them, I'll go up behind them, put my lips through their ear and go, excuse me. But they jump and they move. Or I used to do, because Kimberly told me it's weird. So then I've started just going with some random whistle tune, which you also find annoying,
yeah,
correct?
I hate whistling.
Exactly. And so you'd move too. So the point is,
no, I wouldn't move. I would just look at you and go, what do you want?
And when they move, I get past them. That, see my little tactic? You gotta have tactics when you're a part of town. Do you agree your tactic to deal with that part of town is not being
there? Is to not go there.
Ever. If you can avoid it.
That's it.
But that
during
means
the day, like in the morning when they're sleeping still and they're not lurking.
There. You're acting like tourists are like little gremlins or something.
They are.
Or like little,
it's like
golems.
So early in the morning if you're heading to work, it's like, okay, I can. Anyway, this episode's not about that.
It's not.
We're scaring the tourists.
We're just letting you know.
We don't hate you. We love you. It's just a difficult time for New Yorkers because
we want to walk.
It's no longer our own. And the thing is, and I will say this, there's just tourists who like walk five in a row, and it's like we have to be places. You don't do that. Don't walk like that, please. But
yeah, I don't like that particular. And yes, this is becoming a don't do tourist episode.
We should have that. Like,
yeah.
We don't have to do that in the New Year.
We have done that. We mention it like all the time. That being said, part of the problem with tourists is if you're up at 8, 9 in the morning,
you're doing it wrong.
Well,
for
but no, but I get it, because there's a lot to do, so I get it. And some people, you know, some people live on what we call grandpa time.
Yeah.
No judgment. They tend to be early
or
morning
children.
Yep.
Yep.
Exactly. Ooh, who wake them up, so they're forced to be on grandpa time, as
the
we call it.
Farmer time, as I call it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. That being said, those people who tend to be up early, look, if you're on the street at 8, 9 in the morning, you better be going somewhere, because I am. And so if you see me around at 8, 9 in the morning, I want to get around you. I want you to get out of my way.
Yeah.
That being said, Kimberly said her way of coping with that part of town is to not be there. Yeah. However, aren't you going to go back? Don't you want to see that Saxeth Avenue light display, kind of?
I don't care about that.
You
but
won't?
I do like seeing the lights, so I'll have to figure it out somehow.
We didn't see
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes I'd like to go late at night, because tourists start to go away around 9.
Because not only they live on they're on grandpa time or farmer time.
Right.
They all go to bed.
So it's like, you know what? I'll just grab a nice dinner and then hit it up, and it won't be as bad.
Oh, yeah. Because let me tell you, closing time has become one of the best times of life these days. Because tourists are thinning out. I don't know what that is.
God.
They're going to bed early. Like, what? Anyway, that being said, if you do go to the Radio City Music Hall, or the Radio City Christmas Spectacular, it may be a crowded part of town. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse as you get closer to the big day, which is Christmas Day.
Yeah.
That being said, we went, and I would recommend this. Part of the reason why we went when we did is the ticket prices do fluctuate based on supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
They do sometimes do promotions where you enter a code, get a lower ticket price. We actually got ours through TKTS,
mm-hmm.
which is booth. There is one booth in Lincoln Center area, and there's another booth in Times Square. Basically, what they do is they give discounts day of, or sometimes for the matinee, they'll do it the night before. We were going to the 8 p.m. performance, and therefore, I went to the Lincoln Center TKTS, because they open earlier than the Times Square TKTS. So therefore, I could get it done earlier in the day, get about my life, and get a good discount.
Mm-hmm.
So our tickets were under $50 each. So it was good. And how did you feel about the seats?
Actually, they're better than I thought. You know, I'd never been in Radio City Hall. I'd never been...
Music Hall, yeah.
Music Hall. I'd been around it. Of course, it's iconic. It's kind of one of those moments because, you know, I'm not originally from here, but I'm a New Yorker at heart now. Cynical. mad. No, jaded. Just kidding. You're not all, but, you know, you get a feel for the city. But it's kind of one of those things, even now when I'm in that area and it's not tourists, like January's great, where I'll still walk past Radio City and I'm like, oh my gosh, I live in New York. Because it's just so iconic. But that being said, I never went into it. I'm not really a big concert goer. I just had no reason. So when you walk in, it looks smaller than it really is. Because then...
From the outside or when you walk in that lobby area?
Not the lobby. When you're actually in the seated area and they said, oh, say hi to the people in the mezzanine. I looked up. Yeah. It goes way up.
Yeah, it does.
It is. I didn't realize. It doesn't look that big, but it is huge in there.
From what perspective did you think it didn't look so big?
Just outside. Didn't look that big.
And that's what I meant. The outside facade, it doesn't really belie how big the space is.
Like,
and I
agree
with that.
Magical, like, gnome world. The mezzanine is huge. So I thought we were going to be, like, under the dead spot when you work in theater. There's this area where you're under the mezzanine that's called the dead spot. So I'm like, oh, well, we'll be in the dead spot. And we weren't. There's, like, this area that's the pimp area. I guess you shouldn't call it that. But it's where all the fun things happen. There's, like, this gated area where, like, things happen there. Like, you're going to get confetti thrown on you, snow, not real snow.
There was snow, yeah, but it wasn't real snow.
Our area, we were right before that cutoff, which was, whoa, it was, like, better seats than I expected for the price. I was really surprised. They were excellent.
So that's why I bring that up, in that people oftentimes have this expectation of, oh, it's going to cost a lot of money to go to see any live performance event. Part of it is we didn't go in December. We went in November. Yep. So therefore, the prices tend to be a little bit less. Also, sometimes they do 10 o'clock performances. 10 p.m. at night, those Rockettes are kicking it. Rockettes. Yeah. That being said, those prices tend to be a little bit lower also. What I also noticed is that farther in front of us, the higher ticket prices, there were a decent amount of seats that were empty.
Yeah.
We could have paid more and been closer if we wanted to. Bottom line is, we knew...
In the Blue Man Group
as you like to call it. For those of you who don't know, Blue Man Group is a show that's playing off-Broadway, and they oftentimes have a splash zone.
This is kind of what that was.
There was snow.
There was confetti, there was snow, there were streamers, there were crazy birds.
It was a frost fairy. The frost fairy. Yes. That being said, I will say, going into this, we knew it was touristy. We knew this was cheesy. We knew what this was. So we knew what it was, and we knew how much we were willing to pay. That being said, and I guess this is turning into a pseudo-Broadway episode, I once saw Pamela Denise Anderson, also known as Pamela Anderson in Chicago. I knew where I was going, but I also knew how much I was willing to pay. There's certain things you're like, okay, I'm not expecting a lot. I really, you know, there's only so much money I'm going to put into this. Right. And I think that's what we were approaching it from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, it's iconic. And it's like, you know what? The thing is, when you're a New Yorker, you avoid anything that's touristy. And sometimes even New Yorkers, like born and bred here, say that, you know what? I want to push myself. And so we pushed ourselves. And we encourage you New Yorkers to do it as well. If you have not, please do. We did it. You can do it too. So, yeah.
So, that being said, what I will say, I'll start, because I want to say one of my impressions, truth be told. Mm-hmm. And so, it can be good or it can be bad. I'm not labeling it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say what one of my impressions was.
Sure.
Of the Radio City Christmas Spectacular. I felt like I had ADHD. I'm not going to lie.
I do have ADHD. I'm like,
exactly.
And I was going crazy.
Yeah, but wasn't it like what it's like to be in your head?
Basically, if you ever want to know what it's like to be in my head, go see this show.
Yes, because thank you.
It was, yeah, there was a lot.
There was a lot. I'm going to go there, and I think a good example of it is the Frost Fairy dance. And I think it does change from year to year, but we can't really say that because we've lived here this long, and this is the first time we've seen it.
Yeah.
That being said, there was before the show, mm-hmm. they gave us these 3D glasses.
Yeah.
And I asked the person, the usher, who got us to our seat, so when do I put it on? They said, Santa will tell you. And Santa did tell me when.
Yeah.
The problem I have is Santa didn't tell me when to take it off. Now, given I was being difficult, I acknowledge that.
Common sense tells you take it off.
But you're assuming I have common sense. That's an assumption.
But it's ridiculous.
But truth be told, I did keep them on for, would you agree, the majority of the show?
Yeah, I just...
Totally did. Did it detract from the show? No, it really didn't. However, there were a number of things said when the usher told me about the glasses. They did mention the pre-show introduction. They also mentioned the Frost Fairies. Now, I think you missed this part, Kimberly, because...
No, I heard it.
You heard them say it.
Not to reach out and touch them.
Oh, no. They said it may land on your lap, and if so, handle them delicately.
Yes.
So then we talked about that afterwards. We're like, why would it land in your lap? Because Kimberly was intrigued by the Frost Fairy a little bit. And I said, well,
thought it was a human being or something.
Like, well, it was like a mini fairy with wings that was like...
It was a bird.
No, it wasn't a bird. It was like a drone. It was like a drone. It almost seemed like a drone. That being said, why would they fall? That was our conversation. Like, maybe the battery would die and just land in your lap. So they said if the quote-unquote frost fairy would land on your lap, handle it delicately because they're gentle creatures, gentle beings.
I'm like, half their budget.
I'm like, okay. So at one point, they have these light displays on the wall. So the frost fairies, which fly over the audience that are like remote controlled or battery operated. Look, they're just flying above you. You have on the walls, you have these light displays. Then you have dancers, singers. Rockettes. The singers, were they singing at that moment?
Yes, I don't know. They were everywhere.
Because I felt like I had ADHD.
And
so
the Rockettes.
The Rockettes were there because I know they were dancing because I remember thinking.
I don't even remember what they were doing because I was looking at the Frost Fairies.
Thank you. And that was my problem. I was still looking at the Frost Fairies. I'm like, you know, this choreography. And I remember looking up at the Frost Fairy because I was kind of hoping it would fall on me so that I could handle it delicately. I wanted to handle it delicately because it's a gentle creature. So I wanted to handle it delicately. That being said, I was hoping it would fall.
Sounds like the dating scene in New York.
Handle it delicately.
But nobody does.
You're a gentle creature. Yeah, I can't. So I was waiting for it to follow me. So I was watching it like with my mouth agape and like, and I think I did have the 3D glasses on still at that moment. However, I remember seeing the Rockettes come out because I was impressed by their costume changes. And like, I will say, the Rockettes have some cool costumes. I was kind of impressed at how they did that nice balancing act of changing in and out. That being said, the whole point of this dance was, from my understanding, to show you what it's like to live inside of a snowball or a snowflake. I was like, okay. So it's some weird little, like, through line. I didn't necessarily get it, but my point is, there's something on the wall, there's a frost fairy flying above me, and there's Rockettes on stage doing choreography. I remember looking at the frost fairy, watching for it, and thinking, the choreography in this number is being wasted. Because who is looking at the Rockettes? No, given, I'd love to look at the Rockettes, but that frost fairy, I mean, it's right above me. It could land on me at any moment. Yep. So it's kind of like you're driving, and you got somebody with a stroller across the street. I'm going to watch a stroller across the street, rather than, like, maybe even the stoplight. That being said, the ADHD aspect is because I felt at any given moment there was so much going on that they wanted to capture my attention. And yeah, I also felt like I had to be scattered because along with ADHD, I felt the plot line wasn't so...
It wasn't very linear.
No, it was not. And is that what it's like being in your head?
No, sometimes I can stay on topic and other times I veer off. Yeah.
I like how you've become the representative for all people who suffer from ADHD in the purposes of this episode.
Women than men.
But that's fair.
A whole different episode.
But that's why
I'm not a psychological show, but
look, I don't know what it's like to follow a plot line for somebody with ADHD, but for me,
I can. Sometimes I lose certain things cuz I'm like I'm bored.
And that's ADHD, is what you're saying. Yeah. Well, this one, I wasn't necessarily bored. It just wasn't constructed in a way that there was through line that, like, the Frost Fairy, this whole episode, I feel like there was a story in there, but I feel like it got lost.
So.
Ella. It's all about Ella and her present.
That was one part. There was just so much.
There was Santa, too. So, the point is, ADHD, because A, the plot line got confusing to me, and B, there's just so much going on at most moments. There was some downtimes, but then they seem boring, because we were used to the ADHD level.
Right.
So, what was one of your impressions? I think I kind of, like, threw some things at you.
No, it took me a while to... Even when I walked away, I was like, I don't know what just happened. It's kind of like when you go through a natural disaster, and you're like, what just happened?
But I thought it's kind of like the dating scene in New York.
Well, yeah, too. So, I not in a bad way. I don't want to sound negative. I don't want to sound negative about this, but it was interesting because, and I talked to a friend about this who was born in New York City, born in Brooklyn, raised in the Bronx, and I said, have you ever seen it? And I said, it was weird. Because, like, they have sequences where those hop-and-stop buses are all over New York City and every major city.
The one they use as a dressing room on wheels?
But there's a hop-and-stop bus on the stage showing them the Rockettes seeing the whole city and yay!
It's a dressing room.
It wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be, like, you're on the bus seeing all the scenes of New York. And it was funny because, like, I recognized a lot of the streets and, like, one where I work and I was like, I think you could see me crying up in the window. But I can't promise you that. So, but the thing is, and I brought this up to you and you brought it up to me, the geography was wrong.
It was,
the geography, if you were a New Yorker, it is wrong. The bus was going up streets that were the wrong way.
And they basically had the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. If you're in this set, hop on, hop off bus, which I call the dressing room on wheels, because they did do a costume change in it. That being said, They were once driving, and the tree, the big tree, was on their right-hand side. They did not take the they should have done a U-E, essentially, because you want to head north to get Saxeth Avenue and St. Patrick Cathedral on your right-hand side.
Right.
They did it, so everything was on the right-hand side, but they didn't do the appropriate turns to do that. Well, they basically...
Even when Santa was coming in, his sleigh was going to, like, Madison Square Garden, then he's going to Battery Park. I'm like, what are you doing?
And how'd you get there? Because they didn't...
Like, it's just weird, because this show built in New York, and there's a lot of inconsistencies, which kind of made me laugh, and then they showed it, like, they're just flying through traffic. I'm like, okay, first off, it could be 3 a.m. You ain't flying through traffic in New York City.
Well, not like that. You're going to hit a red eventually.
There's going to be crazy people on the street. It was very clean.
Santa could, pigeons, but not the bus.
Or rats. And I was like, okay, this is like the utopia in New York that they're feeding the audience, but they had to get into this venue, so they know this is one big lie.
True. It felt like a commercial for New York City.
Of what this dream utopia of what New York is, and it was very pretty, but I was like, this isn't how it works. But that's the New Yorker in me going, you know, what?
You were right about the geography. I noticed that too, but I also noticed there was a TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. I'm not, I swear. But I get exposed to them every now and again. There was a TikTok of somebody who came to New York after seeing it in movies and stuff, and they got here, and they're very upset that New York in the movies is not the same as New York reality. I'm like, girl.
But the New York reality is better, in my opinion.
It depends what movie you're watching.
I like it.
I guess that's it. But they were upset because it wasn't. So if anybody went to the Rockettes, like, you know, they just got off Santa's sleigh. Or JFK or whatever. Because I will say, as soon as you get to that airport at JFK, you know it's not the New York from the movies. It's done.
It's crazy.
You know. They don't care.
All the people were saying running around was funny because, I mean, like, I saw some guy assault a Hop and Stop bus and almost punch me, like, about a few months ago. That's New York. I mean, he didn't have a problem with me. He's just having an episode. But, yeah. But that was a little bit strange. But what I will say is, I mean, because it sounds like we're being negative, and I don't want to be negative. What I will say...
We're just saying, don't believe, if you think that the New York they're portraying is the reality of New York, that's not true. I feel like if somebody flew the airport to JFK and went there directly, like teletransported to the Rockette show, then they might believe in this fantasy, but they'd be that angry TikToker when they walk out of Radio City Music Hall being like, wait... This New York reality isn't what was just portrayed to me.
No. No, I mean, and I get it. You don't want to portray it as a big pile of poo-poo. It's not.
New York could do it tongue-in-cheek.
But I think it ruins the magic of New York at Christmas time. But
they even wrote a song about it.
Is that what I really will say that was positive was that I was kind of shocked. I mean, by the Rockettes. It really is kind of amazing because they are one big, wonderful oiled machine. In that they are so precise. And I'd seen it, of course, on TV or things, or you see it on the advertising boards with the movement. It was really impressive because what they do is they have to be between 5'6 and 5'8. And so they put them in heels that are a little bit bigger or shorter depending on your height. So they're all the same height. And so it's this crazy oiled machine that's just amazing. I didn't realize they all tapped. I guess I should have known that.
Oil, do you mean drunk or inebriated?
No.
I'm just checking. What they're oiled with.
No, they can't. What they do.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard job. It's a hard job. They make them do ice baths because their joints and stuff are so... They do so many shows.
If you were a Rockette, would you get married after you were done with your run?
It's funny because I actually went to school. When I moved to New York, I went back to school and I was in class with somebody who was a Rockette. And she had done it for years. I don't know if she still does it or not. But because a lot of them will stay. Like one stayed from 19 until she was like 42 and then retired. But what a lot of them do, she said, is they get married in winter. I said, but after Christmas? And I said, why? And they said, because our bodies are in the best shape after that. We start rehearsing in September, and by the time the shows are done, our legs are amazing. Our bodies are amazing. They said, so we all get married in January because we look so good. And I'm like, but nobody wants to get married in January. And they go, we do.
I would.
We're in such perfect shape. Our bodies, because they do, what, 5 shows a day? Or 3, 4?
No, they have 5 sometimes. 5 it really depends on the day. They used to do 6.
That's
I remember within the last, I'd say, 10 years, they were doing 6 shows on Saturdays, if I remember correctly.
Oh, my God.
I remember it was insane.
It's just a lot to ask, especially because they do a lot of numbers, and they're very precise tap and things, and some are more difficult than others. But honestly, that's a long time to be in those heels and doing the precise movement and costume changes. It's a lot. And honestly, I was so impressed by the soldier scene part of it. No, when they move around, because mm-hmm. certain people, when they move the whole line, mm-hmm. the ones at the end have to take bigger steps, and the one in the center have to take tiny steps.
They do.
So that it stays perfectly aligned. And they did it. It's just amazing to watch how precise it is. And you know it took so much work to get there. As far as the other part.
Oh, I was going to say, the two things I just jump on is nobody wants to get married in January or whatever. I'm like, oh no, destination wedding, please. You're not going to go to a hot place in January? You would.
Also, it's cheaper if you do get married.
Exactly. That's A. B, you said, and I agree with you in that I do believe, I know what the draw of the show is. They are the Rockettes. And when you say well-oiled machine, I agree wholeheartedly. I thought, I can't speak about dancer technique, but I can talk about precision.
Yeah.
I felt it was very precise and very well executed, and it was... That glued me in. The ADHD aspect, other than when the frost fairies are flying around, mm-hmm. usually I was glued to the Rockettes. Particularly when doing small ornate numbers, I was trying to clock the technique and the rehearsal process and basically how they executed things. It's impressive. It's impressive. So they are the stars of the show to me. It wasn't Santa. And
he had
yes,
a great personality. There, it was a lot of fun.
There were sheep. There was that camel.
Oh, yes.
There were animals. We could say they were star. We could say Jesus was the star of the show. We can say many of them could be. But the Rockettes, for me, are why one would go see the Radio City Christmas Spectacular. That being said, the thing when you said I was impressed by the soldier number, my mom actually asked me about the soldier number if they still do it.
It's big. It's iconic. Yeah.
Do you need to talk about that fall?
Ooh.
There's a...
We had never seen it. There's the big, and they've been doing it for years. Some of the things they keep from the beginning of time, and I get it.
Because it's tradition, and that's part of what Christmas is about.
Absolutely. And so they do a fall, the soldier fall, where they fall in one big line. It was the longest 2-3 minutes of my life. Because I think
that was
the show was still new, and you know, it may get faster, but boy, they have to link arms to make sure they're all safe. But God, that took forever. I was like, is it supposed to be this slow?
You said that was the longest 2-3 minutes of your life, but yet you said that Santa's sleigh was flying through Midtown Manhattan and we can see you crying in your office up in the corner.
That was interesting because you had the 3D glasses on. He was throwing presents and snowballs at us.
He was.
And people were like, whoa! You know, it was fun.
Didn't a pigeon did fly at us, I think, too.
Yeah, it didn't dookie, though.
That's impressive, yes. So anyway, that slow fall.
That slow fall was a little bit distracting.
And the music was weird, too.
It was them just playing, the violinist playing a chord and over and over. And so it was like an orchestra warming up. And I was just like, when is this going to end? And
I think you actually
could see
them
linking the arms. It just took forever. It wasn't quite as impressive as I thought it would be. But it doesn't take away from... the rest of their technical. And the thing is, I didn't expect as much tapping. And with tapping, you're going to hear mistakes. There was no mistakes until the present, where Ella gets her present.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ella. Oh, yeah.
I heard 5 taps in the wrong spots. But that was the only number that I saw. And honestly, the technicality of that number is difficult. And I was trying to listen for mistakes.
Wait, I don't think Ella got her present then. I think you're talking about when they were trying to find her present.
Find her doll.
Because... Yeah. Spoiler, it's Christmas and somebody's going to get a present.
And it was made to order, but they made a mistake.
One of a kind, the machine got stuck. Yeah, see, I wasn't going to spoil that part. I was just going to give a spoiler.
Fine.
It's Christmas and somebody gets a present. Spoiler. I know. They might have done this last year, too.
Yeah, and it was cute. It's actually, the dancing in that number was really difficult. And so there were some mistakes, and that happens with tapping. But I was, like, impressed how precise, and that was just me being nitpicky. That was it.
Did you have an ADHD problem in that moment?
No.
Oh, see, I did. The reason why is the costumes that those elf people were wearing. So Santa, spoiler, Mrs. Claus gets a present. And so Santa has to go shopping for Noel number 5, a ripoff of Chanel number 5, as you would. That being said, he got it. Went in the store, came out, and the elves and him transported. And there's pyrotechnics, quote-unquote, in this show. So the pyrotechnics...
There were.
Yeah. I don't know the pyrotechnics were as impressive.
No, I just didn't expect it.
As Angry Camel. Angry Camel was more impressive than pyrotechnic. But regardless, when they went back to the North Pole and got there, the costumes that those elves were wearing when they left New York with Noel number 5 and Santa mm-hmm. and got back to the North Pole, those costumes gave me a visual headache. And I was like, whoa. Generally, I like the costumes.
Yeah,
but the
yeah,
color
yeah.
scheme, it was just like neonish and clashy. And
I
it's like,
it.
Oh, girl. I can't. Anyway, ADHD. That's why I asked, because I couldn't focus on the dance or the dolls, because I was focusing on the costumes and how much they bothered me. And I, apparently it was very costume heavy, actually, because there were the four singers, and I was noticing it was Christmas in New York. And I'm sorry, have you performed a Christmas show, Camberley?
Yeah.
I performed a Christmas show. When I performed Never a Christmas again. Show, and I was outside,
I was
quote
young
unquote,
and I needed the money.
And it paid for headshots, did it not? It
paid for headshots and my family's presents.
Was that the only one? Only yep. Christmas show you've done?
The only one I would, that I never again.
But did you ever have an outdoor scene where you had to be in a costume that was an outdoor costume? Like a scarf and a hat and
on
a winter
stage?
Coat. Yeah.
I didn't Fiddler on the Roof, but...
And it looked like you were outside.
I was and it was in July, and I had to wear a winter coat and hat.
And that's my point, actually. Yeah. So what I did is I did a Christmas Carol, and I had to wear a scarf and a hat and mittens and a coat. These singers... It bugged me. They were in leather. Like, wait. And it's not even good leather. It's like the leather you would wear in fall. Or maybe spring.
Yeah, you can't
spring.
Wear that in winter.
Not in New York. No, given we're a little bit warm right now in New York, but that's...
My butt. It's 36 degrees. I ain't
right
warm.
Now, but it got up to 50-some this week. So
not
we're
good
that.
Enough.
The point of the story is, apparently I was dwelling on the costumes. It's not that the costumes were bad, per se. I think they were designed very nicely, particularly the Rockettes costumes. But I was also kind of looking at color schemes and also appropriateness. Because if you're going to do a winter show, let's see some scarves. Let's see some mittens. Let's see some gloves. I want a Christmas spectacular. So I wanted to be wowed a little bit more in that aspect.
No, I could see that. It's interesting that you bring that up. Because, that one scene where they go to the North Pole, this is something that I
saw. When they teletransport them pyrotechnics?
Yeah. So you missed this, and it drove me nuts.
What drives
you
nuts?
So because this is a Christmas show, and they do say it is a Christmas show, so there's a lot of elements that have to do with Christmas and Christianity. So they have this thing where there's shoots, where the presents, basically, like, when they make the presents, they shoot them to, like, Australia or Sweden.
Oh, yeah, I missed this, because I was focusing on the costumes.
Yeah, so they had, like, Sweden and Australia and New Zealand, so all these presents are flying there, and... Of course, there's different religions in every country, but predominantly, I would say a lot of these cities or countries like France that was there and Spain tend to be very Christian or Catholic heavy. You know, of course, you know, there's other groups, but even in the U.S., it was weird because they had Morocco there. And I was like staring at it because I'm like, I'm looking at all these other countries that you would perceive as being a little bit more Christian heavy, and then they have Morocco, and I'm like, but that's very Muslim heavy. So it was kind of weird that Santa's sending presents there because it's like, they're like, what?
Inclusivity. Santa's being inclusive.
No, I'm all for it.
I can't help.
I am all 100% for it. But it was just kind of interesting because I'm like, oh, these different countries, you know. Oh, Italy, they get some. You know, the Vatican's by there. Got it. And then it's like, you know, Morocco. And I went, what?
Yeah, I missed
hey,
that.
But hey, you know what? Enjoy your presents for those who celebrate in Morocco.
In Morocco.
Yeah.
I could look that up. Do you need me to
know
how many
sure
people
there is.
How many people celebrate Christmas in Morocco?
No, I'm sure there is. Absolutely. I mean, there is in Turkey because it's very mixed. You know, there's a Jewish area. There's, you know, predominantly Muslim. And then, of course, it, you know, but it was just interesting.
It was an interesting choice. yeah, I actually looked it up. The vast majority of residents in Morocco do not celebrate Christmas.
No, they do not. It's
bits of the
Moroccan,
but,
or Muslim.
A bit, yeah, true, but bits and pieces of the holiday can be found thanks to French influence and a good-sized expat community.
Yeah,
so,
but it's still Muslim. So I was like, well, you know what? Okay, sure.
It's not so much. I guess, so we've talked about a little bit of geography, talked about the ADHD aspect. We talked about the Rockettes and their execution, how good it was. The other thing that kind of stuck out for me a little bit, when we talked about the storyline, and this is where I got confused as I was looking for a little bit more. Look, if you're going to the Radio City Christmas Spectacular, and you're looking for a storyline, you're looking for a plot, as Kimberly alluded to, you're probably not going
to
get too much.
Because
you have
just enjoy. Just sit back and enjoy the
you
ride.
You have the Frost Fairies. You have Noelle number 5. I thought the moral of this was, Ella saw Santa, Ella wanted a gift, it was the one-of-a-kind doll, and then we're going to see her get her doll. I missed her getting her doll. To me, that's the ending. And I felt like Camerlee and I both agreed that the ending of the show was a little bit like, wait, what? Like, it's over?
Oh, yeah, it just kind of ended, and everybody was clapping, and it was like, what?
Well, they got to get done in 90 minutes. The show's only 90 minutes.
Oh, I know, but the thing is, you can look around. People are, like, clapping, like, I guess it's done. It was a little bit clunky at the end.
Yes, I would say, well, because of the lack of plot. Also, when you think of Christmas spectacular, I want something spectacular. You talk about pyrotechnics.
That's when you do the pyrotechnics. You talk about bring out those fairies, bring out the snow.
Yeah, everything. Crazy. Everyone should come back. Let's have snow, let's have fairies, let's have fire, let's have everything. Let's have that thing on the wall, that display on the wall. Wasn't there something that distracted you when they did a light display on the wall?
Oh, there's a giraffe on roller skates. It was very, or not roller skates, on ice skates. It was
let's bring that. They had ice skating on stage at one point, actually. Yeah. Yeah, they had like a pond, a Central Park pond there with ice skating. Yeah, impressive. Yeah, I didn't expect to see that. Ice skating. Yeah, bring back
on the hop and stop bus.
I want the giraffe. I want the giraffe back for the finale. Point is, the ending and the plot in general is a little bit clunky, is what I would say. And also, I guess my third point, or the thing stuck out to me, if I'm going to say it, I'm just whipping it out, is Jesus.
I know, I was going to talk about that.
You talk about Jesus.
Because, basically, I was going to talk about my favorite parts, and you can choose your favorite part. My favorite part, and the thing is, normally, I mean, I'm all for the Big J.
Are you, though?
Yeah, I am. It's just that I'm just kind of there. I'm not a big religious person, but I love Christmas. I love, you know, I respect what it's about. I will say that was my favorite part of the whole show.
Is it because of the camel?
It wasn't just the camel. What I liked about it was, honestly, they did a nativity scene. I had never seen a nativity scene before.
You called it, actually, I think, a Christmas pageant, I think is what you referred to it as.
Yeah, Christmas pageant. That's not what it is, I guess. But people say they go to Christmas pageants and it has the nativity scene. Whatever. But I really liked that part. I thought it was really well done. They talk about the history of it. The costumes.
Those were amazing. Great. Now, those did not give me a headache.
Everyone in the cast goes across the stage wearing these beautiful costumes.
Well, not Ella and her mom, but everyone else.
Yeah, everyone else. And they may have come at the end. But everyone comes out in these beautiful costumes. It was so beautiful. And then on the side before it was during. I don't know. But they have like the nativity scene and there was real sheep on stage.
And
they had
camel.
Real animals. They had a donkey.
Yes.
Oh, so cute, El Burro. Ooh. And then they had this two camels.
Yes.
And one of them
was spicy.
Was mad.
I thought he was going to say he was an Aries, like Camberley's an Aries. I was going to say he was a
this camel.
Aries camel.
This camel went off the rails. And camels are a difficult animal. Actually, burros are too, usually. This burro behaved, or donkey. But this guy, I thought he was going to go postal. He was going nuts. That camel was spicy. I'm surprised he didn't spit, because they do that. He just did not want to be there. And then I was like, where do they put these animals?
I believe they keep them on site, but I don't have the scientific backing for that.
But I just, because they need sunlight and stuff. They can't just put them in a dark, dank theater.
You have a plant light for your plants.
No, they can't do that. That'd be abusive. It's kind of like the horses that they do, like, at the holidays. They go into, like, some area where stalls. But I think that was my favorite. They even had Angel up in the sky holding a star. And then they had...
Wasn't the song Angels We Have Heard on High?
I don't remember. But it was just beautiful. The costumes are beautiful. They tell you the history of
where Melchior and Casper...
Balthazar and all these things, where they came from. Ethiopia, now some of it's arguable, I guess, different versions of historical accuracy, but it was still very interesting. It was beautiful. It was my favorite part. It was so beautifully done. The whole nativity scene was hands down my favorite part, except for the accuracy of the Rockettes dancing. I think that, you know what it was? It was just focused and beautifully done. That's what I liked about it, was the focus. I felt like it was a calming moment that was very poignant and just beautifully done. So that was my favorite part.
So apparently, I was looking up the animals. There was a debate once upon a time about PETA getting involved in this, about where they kept them. But the creatures are provided, from my understanding, by Dawn Animal Agency, which has a upstate location, and they rotate them with others.
Okay,
from a location to give them time off, time on. So I can't say how many performances are used.
So maybe it's a sanctuary or something.
I didn't worry about the animals. I'm glad they're. I felt they were well behaved. I thought, look, they have to do one number. One number. That's the kind of gig Camberley wants.
That's a lot for animals.
If it was you, and you got to show up, if call time for a show is at 6 p.m. and you could show up at 7
o'clock. I'm a human being making a decision. These animals aren't. And I enjoyed having them there. They were well behaved, but that one camel wasn't having it.
That camel probably still got a treat. And I do believe they had handlers. I don't think they had. Camberley and I debated that if it was a cast member leading across stage.
Or I had to do it, like, bring animals across stage. There was no handler, let me tell you.
But the camels.
That goat almost took me out.
I still
have nightmares.
Girl, I think the camels had a handler. That's just what I believe, because as you've said, they spit, they get spicy.
They do. They're big animals.
I think not small. And I'm thinking of the unions, because I don't think there's anyone doing that. I'm not necessarily saying favorite part. I guess I would say I was a little bit confused because, so the song that confused me, and one of my favorite Christmas songs, I will say, is Green Sleeves, What Child Is This? And they did a version that, I'm sorry, I'm going to expose my naivete on this. I was not aware of the bells of Christmas are ringing. Do you know that song? But it's Green Sleeves. They did it to Green Sleeves. And it's actually a Frank Sinatra song. So I
don't know that guy. I know who he is, yeah, but exactly. I don't know his work.
And so when their four singers sang that song, they did Green Sleeves with no Christian lyrics at all, which I'm like, okay, because people do that all the time.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, Christmas doesn't have to be about Jesus. I mean, if I'm thinking like a Christian, then I would say it would. But a lot of people focus on Santa and the secular aspect. And
that's up why I'm glad they did that.
Well, and up till that point, they hadn't. And so when they did the whole Frank Sinatra version, I thought, oh, okay, we're going to keep it secular. Okay, I'm down. Like, I'm not mad. We're cool.
Yeah.
And Santa had been there. He was kind of the host of the show. So he'd been there the whole night, so I wasn't thrown by it. I was just like, it's a choice, because I had never heard this version before in my life. And then right after that, Ella's mom and Ella are sitting there reading a book about baby Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
They went straight for it.
That's a hard left, considering you made a choice to go. And maybe they did the Frank Sinatra because we are on the East Coast, and they thought that like, a lot of us love Frank Sinatra, which Camberley and I
maybe
don't really.
Maybe the older generations.
Maybe. And so then they avoided it, but part of that might have been strategic to give their audience what they wanted.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then after making that choice to do a specifically secular or non-Christian version of that song, they took a hard left and went right into the Bible.
They like, sure did.
Literally reading for the Bible, the whole procession.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty... it could have been Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It was, and then I'm trying to remember the song. It was either Angels We Have Heard on High or Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It was well done. Rockettes, I can't say, they're known for their dancing. I can't say they're known for their singing. They did have people whose role was specifically to sing.
Yeah.
And they had other people who kind of did dance and sing.
Yeah.
But the fullness of the sound was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. I did get the hair on my arm to stand up in the back of my neck. So I agree with Camberley, and I felt that section was impressive in terms of presentation, in terms of costume, in terms of vocality. But it didn't seem to line up with the whole Ella getting her gift thing, because I felt that, to me, I thought that was a storyline. I felt the crafting storyline could have been so much better.
That could have been, but I don't think that was. It was just her reading the story on Christmas Eve, because that's the reason we have the holiday. And I do applaud, and this is somebody who isn't necessarily of any faith. I like y'all. So I'm saying this because sometimes people are like, oh, Christmas gets wiped out a little bit.
In what way?
Christmas was created for religious purposes originally, for Christianity. So I actually this is brave, because now it's happy holidays. I get why. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but what I'm saying is I was like, wow, they really went for it.
Well,
they took all aspects of Christmas, and the one that I was like, they're not going to touch that, they did. And I was like, and it was done beautifully. I just applaud them for putting the Christianity in it, or why
keeping
Christmas
it real.
Well, yeah, I mean, and this is somebody who isn't necessarily of the faith, you know, but I respect it. I really do.
So I think what you're saying is, your point is, it started out as a Christian holiday, but a lot of people have taken it and adopted it, whether they believe in the Christian aspect or not.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I love it. It's my favorite holiday.
Well, and even beyond that, I have many Jewish friends who love Christmas.
Oh, I have so many.
Because
I'm like, what are you doing? They go, it's a great holiday. I'm like, hey, well, welcome. I'm in it too. I'm right there with you.
And they're not celebrating it, I would say, for the Christian
for
aspect.
The big J, no.
But it also is, I'm not saying appropriation, but they're basically paying homage. Radio City Christmas Spectacular was trying to respect the roots, respect where it came from.
And it was shocking, but in a good way. I liked it.
Yes.
It was beautifully done. It was my favorite part.
Beautifully done. There was a lot. It was a spectacular. It was ADHD.
I remember once I walked out, it took me like 24 to 48 hours to try to sort out my head. It was a lot.
And you get to sing along. If you choose to. I would encourage you to.
It is interactive.
Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
And the lyrics will be put up for you in case
you don't know. Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. I went for it. I don't know why Camberley didn't as much as I did, but let me tell you.
I was taking it all in, and I just...
I had a good time.
Don't quite know what to think.
So, that being said, I don't know that we're ranking it, but I guess I would say we're not. Okay, because I could, but we don't need to. My question for you is... I have two... It's a two-part question. Okay. I'm not asking you to rank. One, would you recommend it to a tourist? And two, would you do it again?
I would recommend it to tourists and New Yorkers alike, as long as you know going into it that this is not like a Broadway show like Hades Town or something like that. It's more focused.
On the plot, you mean?
It's right. It's and it is a spectacular, but it isn't necessarily... It's not the same level. It's not like Phantom of the Opera to me or something, which is not close. But I'm saying it's not quite Broadway. It's a showcase. It's like going to Vegas. It's like a showcase
type thing.
So go in there with very limited expectations because you're not going to get much of a plot. It's a little bit chaotic at times. There were parts of it, I'm going to be honest, that were really cheesy for me.
Like, what was the cheesiest part?
Just the dancers on the side dancing and singing.
Those were singers. Those were the four.
Not just them, just the
other ones.
Ensemble people. There was parts of it that were just really cheesy. But part of it is it's also for a family show and for kids to enjoy. So I'm coming in as an adult who's kind of like, what is this?
You know? Also, as actor aspect, I will say this. The ensemble, I'm looking around, making sure they're not here and going to jump me. They were a little uneven. In that, there was one member of the ensemble, not the Rockettes and not the singers, who I was watching. His dancing was good. He had good lines. But the facial expression, nothing.
That's every show. But, so I'm not gonna down that because it's every show. I mean, I've worked in shows. It happens all the time. It happens at work. You have somebody who works hard, and then you have the idiots who do nothing. So that's just life. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm not. Not for that ticket price.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I want you to be the best at what you do, but I also acknowledge, like, holiday shows in general... And this is why I bring up as an actor. I feel that actors oftentimes gravitate away from Christmas shows and because children's not shows.
Fulfilling.
Emotionally.
Artistically.
Yeah. They'll pay your check.
It'll
buy headshots and presents.
So well. Children's theater especially pays so well.
But if you ask a Rockette if they're working for their money, they are. Five shows a day.
I was just Bo Peep. I just had to spit off a few lines, dance a little, sing, and get off stage.
But I looked at the salary. Isn't it like $22 an hour?
It's awful. Yeah.
I mean, and when you look at it, they basically work as an hour and a half show five times a day.
Yeah.
So that's not... And it's spread out.
They must not be union, because I don't know how they can legally do this. But that's a whole different
thing. So the point of this story is basically talking about it's not Broadway. So basically, it's not as far as... You're talking about it's more of a showcase, much like Vegas.
It's a showcase. So go in, especially, you know, just know that some of the parts are cheesy. Go in there just knowing it's... It was fun watching certain audience members because I did start looking around. And some of them you could see were glowing and singing. And you could see like them becoming children again. Like this woman was older and she was just smiling and so happy. And it's kind of like Disney, I feel like. It's that whole thing of it brings out the child in people. And that's why they love it so much. So it actually made me a little teary-eyed to see her so like childhood wonder. And she had to be in her late 60s. And I was like, good on you. You know, so it's a nice experience. It's just... You know,
I'm glad we went, and I'm not saying I was teary about it, but I do feel as though as someone.
Well, it wasn't about the materials because the woman watching.
I get that, but I got that. I'm talking about being in Radio City at all, just for being here, the song and that experience. I feel it is iconic.
It is. Stepping foot in it is
interesting, but also the aspect that some people do it every year as a family tradition. Absolutely. It's a bonding experience. Some people have their holiday traditions, and many families has this as one.
Absolutely.
So you said. For tourists in New Yorkers alike, you would recommend they go. Would you go again? You didn't answer that part. Fa-la-la-la-la.
I'll have to think about it. I wouldn't be against it. I wouldn't be against it. I'm curious to see how much it changes. But I have a feeling it's 50-50. You know what I mean? They change certain things. But it was fun, but I don't know.
I know the animals are there. They've been there
Would you go back?
I'll answer that question. To answer your first question is, they change things 50-50. I know the animals have been there
for
at least 20 years.
From the first year I moved here, I have a picture. I'm like, camels, no way.
Yeah, so they keep that in some facet.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure Santa's there in some facet. And that slow fall, they keep that.
Oh, it's been there since the beginning. But the kicks were cool, too. Seeing them live, that was really cool. I don't know how we didn't mention that, because this is getting long, but honestly... Those kicks are really cool in person. I heard somebody online complain, well, they're not that high. I'm like, that's not the point. It's about
precision.
The fact that not one person was wrong. They were completely matched all the way down across. Head turns, everything. And they don't hold each other. It looks like they're holding each other's back. They can't, because if one falls out of balance, they knock everybody down. So it's a real soldier fall. So they can't touch each other. And you couldn't tell. It's amazing. It's amazing. The kick line is cool.
The execution also with the block number. I knew they had a block for a reason, but then the reveal, that was well done.
It was cool.
So would I? So to answer the first question was, they changed some things. I can't give you a number because it's the first time I've seen it. And I haven't done the research. Second thing, you said 50-50. Would I recommend it to a tourist / New Yorker? I say yeah. It's fun if you're willing to pay. You got to set in your head the standard of how much money you're willing to spend on, as I'll call it, cheese with not a lot of plot. Would I do it again? La 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 la. I mean, I had fun. I laughed. I made the most of it, I guess. Would you say I was into it?
Yeah.
I wore a Santa hat and everything. I was down.
Yeah.
And I wore my 3D glasses the entire time. So would I do it again? I would. However, that being said, I don't think I would ever pay full price.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yes. And just because they
do... And it wouldn't become a yearly tradition for me. It'd be every once in a while.
It'd be based on mood.
Yeah. Exactly.
It really would. The only downfall, I guess, I would say to me that also still sticks with me a little bit is I think in years past, they used to have programs. And I think about sustainability and, like, keepsake aspect.
The glasses.
Exactly. You're giving me glasses. But in years past, I remember seeing in my place of employment, people would come after the show and they'd leave the programs. So I remember seeing the programs and looking who was in the ensemble or seeing who the dancers were. I don't know that I felt the Rockettes got their proper like accolades. Like, no, I was kind of curious, true. Like, oh, I want to give him credit. Now, given, I think, and I haven't seen it on the site, like, who is on the ensemble, but even the singers, even the ensemble, even Santa, because Santa was personable and pretty good.
Yeah.
But I also hear sustainability. You could just give me a QR code, maybe on the glasses somewhere or something. There could be a way for me to look up without actually going to the Rockette site, which I also could easily do.
Yeah.
I guess I'm holding on to quote-unquote tradition of having something tangible, because the playbills for Broadway, they still do it.
Yeah.
We haven't abandoned that yet.
No.
There is something to be said about giving credit to the performers, giving credit to the crew, giving credit to the director, choreographer, but also having something tangible as a keepsake that you don't have to purchase.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, it's a double yes. Fa-la-la-la-la.
It's a double yes. So even you New Yorkers out there, get out there and do it once. You know you want to, kind of, sort of. So, you do.
Well, let me tell you, don't go looking for an education on the New York City geography, because you won't find it there. Yeah. On that note, live your life as an exclamation, not an explanation.